The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody. It is Monday, April 1, 2024. It is our final hour back together here on our reunion day. Thanks again so much. I always like at the beginning of each hour on the first day back, always like to thank our friends who fill in, and it's a wonderful bench strength that we have accrued here. The great Paul Gleiser, the Sage of East Texas, and the King of Lubbock Radio, Chad Hastie. Thanks to these gentlemen for filling in last week. It was awesome. Lisa and I were in Aruba, which it's a blessing. It's a curse. The island is great. The place is fantastic, but the Beach Boys' Kokomo is in your head for the weeks. The Aruba, Jamaica, Kokomo is fictitious. But Aruba is real, and it's really, really wonderful. We had a fantastic time. It is a Dutch nation, so lots of Dutch. The Dutch pancake is a big player, which is great because you can get them sweet with some blueberry or some even chocolatey stuff. That wasn't my jam. No pun intended. I was more a fan of the ham, cheese, bacon, tomato, oniony Dutch pancake. And it also gave me a chance to revisit the strangeness of Dutch as a language. It's like where German meets typographical error. Oh, there was a bottle of syrup and that's a brand, and they got the basically said, hey, this is great syrup. But the words, I mean, I've never been to Amsterdam. I got to go. I hear wonderful things about it. But it's like many Dutch words have like 37 letters with like K's and W's rammed together in ways that nobody ever intended. And it sounds beautiful tripping off the tongue, but looking at Dutch is like a cat walked across a keyboard. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Now you think about the Caribbean and you think about swaying palm trees and maybe, you know, interspersed with a lot of rain because it's tropical and stuff like this. If you've ever had a vacation to like St. Thomas or the Bahamas or, you know, St. Kitts, St. Lucia, St. Barts, you know, any of the saints, you can get waylaid by weather. And if you go in like September, you can get, you know, blown to bits by a hurricane. Ain't no hurricanes in Aruba for the most part. Here's a weird fact. Before it chewed up America, Katrina blew through Aruba in 2005 and took out a couple of things, but I don't know if that's like the last hurricane that they had, but every day is the same. I mean, it's like sun here, but here's the deal. It's sunshine in 85 always, which is great, right? And it certainly helps with your planning. It can be very windy at times. And also you are really, I mean, if just think of the Caribbean, think of it as Cuba, and then it winds all, the Caribbean, of course, the coast of, you know, Yucatan and Playa del Carmen and Cancun are on the Caribbean Sea. But, and then things curve around from Hispaniola, the island where Dominican Republic and Haiti are, Puerto Rico. And then you get all the way down all these little tiny islands and your Anguillas and your St. Martins and all that stuff. And you just keep going. And you get to what are glibly called the ABC islands, which is Aruba. Oh, I'm going to forget Bonaire and Curacao. And they're all, I mean, you're pretty well in Venezuela, which makes an interesting cultural mix. Because, as I've said, tons of Americans, it's like 85% American visitors. In a lot of the Caribbean, you get a lot of British, a lot of Turks and Caicos. You get a lot of Canadian folks for some reason. It's all under the British crown. In the Dutch world, it's funny, it's not a lot of Dutch, but just a boatload, literally cruise ships, hello, of Americans. And so English is spoken everywhere, and some Dutch, of course, and also a little Creole Portuguese hybrid thing called Papiamento, which is really fun. Like Haiti has a kind of a Creole French that's kind of a derivation of French. And Papiamento is kind of a Creole Portuguese. So it's linguistically fascinating. And we just had but here's the thing. So it's on the West Coast, where all the hotels are, is sugary, sandy, white beaches. And it's like so calm. It's like a bathtub. It's like zero waves, which may not be festive enough for some of you. It's great for snorkeling, though. Here's the weird thing. It is crazy shallow. You walk 300 yards out and you're still just like up to your waist. So you might like it a little deeper in some ways. The wind is a thing, and we were spared some of the buffeting winds that sometimes you'd be out on the beach and like, you know, you're getting hit like Lawrence of Arabia in the sand dunes. But that did not happen to us. But here's the weird thing, and it's weird and wonderful, and thank you, God. The creation of this island on the west coast is sand and placid waters. The east coast is like Big Sur. It's like waves just brr, just crashing and bombarding, like brr. All you got to do is drive 8 miles over there, and it's a whole nother scene. And ain't nobody getting in the water in there. But there are natural bridges and rocky shorelines. And speaking of rocks, let me tell you, just Google something. The Oya, O-Y-A, the Oya rock formations in the center of the island of Aruba. It's like, if it's not God, it's aliens. And I'm going to go with the God story on this. Enormous, strange shapes, egg-shaped, massive million-pound rocks just stacked on top of each other for no reason. And you can crawl under them and through them, and some of them have holes in them. And in some of these caves, the Arawak Indians left some artwork many centuries ago. So you got that, too. And it was so we recommend this for any place you go, if you have the opportunity, is just rent a Jeep for one day and just make your time your own and just tootle around, do whatever you want to do. And that's what we did on that one day. And it was great. So big, 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 big thumbs up for the island of Aruba. Okay. 866-660-5759. So fresh off our conversation with Dr. Tom Oliverson, I loved his statement of why he's running. That was Thursday before last, before I left. And Rhonda secured his appearance here while I was away. And I've had great anticipation of this. I said, okay, let's see how this goes. What do we think of? Do we need this guy to be Speaker of the Texas House? And I will tell you, if you missed it, podcasts will be up, you know, within 30 or 45 after we're done. Rhonda will put those up and just listen to the 8 o'clock hour podcast. And Dr. Oliverson will be the sort of the second half of that. Can you tell me something that wasn't great? I actually give you one thing from the text line. Tell you one thing. First of all, attitudinally, ideologically, priorities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think it all passed muster with those who are really on board with the notion of reform in Austin. Now, I asked him because he was curiously not voting. He did not vote on the Paxton impeachment. I thought, uh-uh. But his statement made it really clear that he did not, that he had a pretty dim view of the rush to impeach and the vendetta that Dade Phelan brought to the table and the weirdness and the lack of transparency. And I asked him, I said, if you had been there, you would have voted no. And he said, yes, I would have voted no. And I said, so why weren't you there? He said, well, his son was graduating from high school. Okay, I totally get that. I really do. I mean, hello, I totally get that. But then I asked, did you pretty well know that a wave of Republicans were going to dance to Dade Phelan's tune and there would be a pretty one-sided vote to impeach? And he said, nope, I didn't know how it was going to go. Uh-oh. So some of you noted that moment and said, what if he'd have been the deciding vote? Well, obviously he wouldn't have been because it was pretty overwhelming. And maybe he did have a bit of a barometer that so many people were in Dade Phelan's thrall that that the impeachment was totally going to barrel through, and it would require the Senate to stop this nonsense, which they thankfully did. But on the notion of having Republican chairs in a Republican state, on the notion of responsiveness to the voters in what is supposed to be a red state, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The things that he found obstructed, from school choice to voter integrity, I think it went thoroughly well. I am prepared at this juncture to smile on a Tom Oliverson candidacy for Texas House Speaker, pending the arrival of other candidates. So let's see who else announces and see how that goes. What did Dr. Oliverson's pitch for House Speaker go well? It absolutely did. Anybody else running? Don't know. And they get to be on the show, too, when they announce. Know who gets to be on the show now? You. 866-660-5759. Mike, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good morning, sir. Thank you.
Hi.
Hey, along with the speakership controversies, mm-hmm. and I did not vote in the primary for Jeff Leach, one of the things that I've been trying to push since the redistricting hearings that I think would solve some of these issues, I hope, mm-hmm. would be to bring the Texas Constitution up to date and increase the number of House and Senate representation, given the state's population since it was originally founded has expanded 30-fold?
No doubt. No doubt. So there are 150 members in the House. How many do you want?
Oh, I would think we'd need to be in excess of 200, if not 239, is an odd number. And I think there's enough room in the chamber for desks. And some 50-plus, 51, 49 state senators. We're long overdue.
Well, it's funny because we are rapidly approaching the point with 31 Texas state senators. A Texas state senator has more constituents than a congressman, a United States congressman, because, the 435 in a country of 330 million, you get about 700,000. We are rapidly approaching each Texas senator having roughly 1 million constituents. 150 in the Texas House. This is a great question. So do we really need more legislators? Ouch. What's the best argument for how are we just when you have fewer constituents, there's more accountability, better constituent relatability? What would be your argument there?
You get representation closer to home, what your constituents want to see.
I guess. I purely mathematically.
I mean, no offense to some, but my first representative, that whose district I was in before the last redistrict, you go to meetings. I live in Collin County for transportation issues and et cetera, et cetera. Never saw the guy. Don't know if he even still is actually alive or they just put pictures up. Now, I have a different representative now because it's redistricting. Never saw the guy. No offense, might be a great guy.
All right, so right now
they represented Rockwall and North.
I totally get it. So right now, with the state of 30 million, 150 in the House is about 200,000 per. So are we going to bring that down to 160,000 per? Is that really going to make a difference? All of a sudden, the guy's at your house every night for coffee. I don't know if hurt is really the verb, but and this is probably too glib, but I can almost hear people, and listen, let me offer this up. I mean, I got 36 minutes of show left and other things to bring up. The notion of more legislators, it just means it's just a bigger mess. It's like herding cats as it is, a 220 member House and just on more personalities and more clashes and more nonsense and more drama. I don't know.
I get it, but how does a representative that operates in Jerry World in Frisco represent the good people out by Gainesville?
Yes, but again, I think in order to have real the kind of localization that the localization you refer to, we'd almost have to have 600. We'd have to just go crazy because, especially in DFW, you're still going to have districts with big suburban populations and some folks who are downright rural in the same district. Still going to have.
Absolutely.
But it's a really, really good point. It really is. Is it? So let me toss that up. Text line, phone lines, whatever, and maybe I'll even bleed this into tomorrow a little bit. 150 in the Texas House. You want to take that over to 231 member Texas Senate. You want to make that 50 or so? 925. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer. From Pyromania, pretty good 41-year-old record, Foolin' on April Fool's Day. What state senator is cool enough to give me this suggestion? To the surprise of no one, it is Granbury's own Brian Birdwell out of District 22. Thank you, Senator. Hoo-ah! All righty, it's Joe Elliott and the boys. And man, they're coming this summer to... Globe Life, right? Or what's I've lost track of. Yeah, because Choctaw. Well, I guess No, they're coming to actual Globe Life where the Rangers play. Old ballpark is now Choctaw. I can't handle all this. I can handle a visit into the newsroom, though. So let's do that. Nikki Whaley is there. Many of you saw this one coming. On the text line, hey Mark, as a Fog Hat fan, on April Fool's Day with songs with fool as a concept, guts to do fool for the city. And so, consider it done. So there's like one more, right? There's one more, and there's a bunch. Believe you me, fool is in the title, or some form of the word, is in the title of a whole bunch of songs. So, I'm trying to break a tie. I think I know which one I'm going to do to wrap us up here in just the next few. So 866-660-5759, between now and then, anything left unsaid, anything left unaddressed on this, our first day back. Appreciate that. So there in talking to about an hour ago, Dr. Tom Oliverson, who wants to be Speaker of the House, and he spoke of the headlong rush toward Paxton impeachment as the ill-conceived exercise that it was. So while I was away, I noticed even at the tip of the Caribbean string of islands going almost all the way to South America to Aruba, I could feel the crescendo of disappointment and crushed will of those who were just absolutely longing for Ken Paxton to go on trial and be convicted of something. That's not going to happen. There is no admission of guilt. There is no plea bargain. This is a settlement. And as I said earlier, I'll set this up real quick and then a little stretch of what Lone Star Politics had on Channel 5 about this, including a conversation with Mitch Little, freshly elected state rep. Thank you very much. About this entire charade. He was a Paxton attorney in the impeachment imbroglio and then beat Kronda Timmish, who was not taking it well, in House District 65. When you have a settlement, anytime you have a settlement, it means both sides were willing to enter into it because they had a feeling that the settlement would yield a better result for them than what would otherwise happen. Right. So for Attorney General Paxton, 100 hours of community service, 15 hours of legal ethics training, and $271,000 in restitution is better than being put in jail for the rest of your life by a Houston jury that hates your guts. So that's a pretty easy call. But what about the prosecution? I mean, after all, they got a Harris County jury. They got a jury that hates Paxton's guts. Yeah, but you know what they didn't have? A strong case, and they knew it. Special prosecutor was a gentleman named Brian Weiss, and he was interviewed as well. I think he was on Inside Texas Politics. But so since this was the big thing while I was away, let's look at how this was observed over the weekend. Channel 5 Lone Star Politics.
Here's one of his defense attorneys, Dan Cogdill.
At the end of the day,
It is not a plea bargain. He didn't plead. There is no admission of guilt. There will never be an admission of guilt because he's not guilty. But we're glad to have this behind us. 18 months from now, or perhaps shorter, the case will be dismissed. There will never be a conviction.
Almost a decade ago, Paxton was accused of convincing two friends to invest in a McKinney tech company without telling them he was getting paid by that company. Former state representative from Corsicana, Byron Cook, was one of the accusers and thanked prosecutors for their work through a lawyer. The other accuser passed away in Florida last year. The prosecutors say they wanted to make this deal instead of taking it to trial in 3 weeks with the possibility of losing.
Tana, even in hostile Harris County, when you think you're not going to get a prosecution of a conservative in Harris County, you know the case is flawed.
But the decision came with criticism, a lot of it including from the Texas director of the watchdog Public Citizen.
Now, this is interesting. This is a guy named Adrian Shelley. And when I mentioned that they're just just cry harder. These people are crestfallen that they're not going to, you know, see Paxton frog marched into a courtroom.
Adrian Shelley, he issued a statement saying in part, quote, the special prosecutors owe an explanation of why a case that threatened to send Paxton to prison for up to 99 years will end following 100 hours of community service, restitution, and 15 hours of legal education.
That's because they knew that he wasn't going to prison for up to 99 years. They knew that he probably wasn't going to prison at all.
Special prosecutor Brian Weiss responded to the blowback.
I have been called everything but a child of God by these people. And to them I say, I appreciate your concern. And with all due respect, your truth is not the truth. You know 0.5% of what Mr. Silverman and I know about the facts of these cases.
In other words, everybody that just wanted Paxton's head on a spike didn't mean that you were particularly conversant about the Swiss cheese holes that would have been blown through this case had it gone to trial.
Paxton will remain as attorney general and has 18 months to complete the terms of the deal. If he backs out, a trial will be rescheduled. In a statement afterward, Paxton wrote he will be speaking more about this issue in the weeks ahead.
Oh, I'll bet he will. I'll bet he will. And so will freshly elected state rep Mitch Little, who was his attorney.
Actually come up until maybe the last couple of months, Phil. So I think it's helpful for your viewers to understand over the course of 9 years, everything in this case for Ken Paxton was really a one-of-one situation. Mm-hmm. You had special prosecutors who were being paid at an illegal pay rate. Court of Appeals already decided that issue. Case was moved to Harris County, 4 hours away from where Ken Paxton lives. There were a number of disadvantages to General Paxton as he kind of traveled through this process. But you know what actually changed the dynamic in the last couple of months was, one, the prosecutors realized they were not going to be paid the illegal pay rate that they originally agreed with the judge in Collin County. And two, they actually started interviewing some of the people who were the alleged complainants in this case and realized maybe that case wasn't as strong as they thought it was.
Well, that's an interesting point because there was some Houston Chronicle reporting on that where some of the witnesses said Paxton did nothing wrong. One of the key accusers passed away last year. And then another accuser, Byron Cook, I think we can describe as a political opponent of Attorney General Paxton.
You think?
They just looked around and said, maybe we don't have the evidence we thought.
Shocker. A decade we've been through all this. Maybe our case isn't strong. Maybe our case isn't strong. That's why they settled.
So it was very difficult for me waking up the next day on Wednesday this week and reading the Chronicle article about how weak the case was because we had been telling the special prosecutors that for 9 years. The failure to register charge that was levied against General Paxton was preempted by federal law. Mm-hmm. It never should have been brought in the first place. We told the special prosecutors that. And obviously the situation with Byron Cook, as a civil lawyer, I filed 4 separate securities fraud lawsuits against Byron Cook. He was not a babe in the woods. He was certainly a political opponent of the attorney general and a hyper-sophisticated investor. I don't think if we had tried the case, there would have been a conviction on any count. But it is a great relief to the Paxton family, I know, and to the rest of our defense team that there will be no trial. Because, as you know, when you seat 12 jurors, anything can happen, mm-hmm. especially in Harris County.
Indeed, indeed. And if any playing field was tilted against Paxton, it was Harris County, and these folks settled anyway, because even in Harris County, they were not confident of winning. So what about this gentleman, Brian Weiss, who was the special prosecutor who agreed to that half of the settlement? He was interviewed on Channel 8 on Inside Texas Politics. And like, why'd you settle?
First of all, most folks don't realize that the lion's share of all criminal cases that are ever filed ever see the inside of a courtroom in front of a jury. It is not at all uncommon for cases to settle 3 weeks before trial, 3 days before trial, 3 hours with the jury in the hallway.
Yeah, and he's right about this. But for 9 years, the drumbeat that Ken Paxton is evil, that he's broken countless laws, actual members of the legislature referring to him as a sophisticated criminal. They are absolutely inconsolable that they're not going to get their golden day of seeing Ken Paxton convicted of something
before trial. So the timing wasn't all that unusual when you look at it through the prism of the criminal justice system that I've seen every day for the last 45 years.
Was prison ever a likelihood if this case went to trial?
That's a great question, because I have seen the so-called legal experts in my town. And remember what Mark Twain said about experts. They're just some guy from out of town. And they were like, this is a farce of a mockery outrage, because he should be in prison. He should be at the wind unit chopping rocks. And look, the answer to your question is two words. Absolutely never.
Wow. And yet there was Justin Holland out there who wants to still be your state rep. Katrina Pearson's going to beat him like a drum. And talking about him like he was a flight risk, that as these trials inexorably moved forward, that in order to avoid rotting in prison, that Ken Paxton would pack his stuff and head off to some Caribbean island. Unbelievable what hate does to these people.
I'd never envisioned any scenario, any universe in which, by which, through which, that a judge or jury put Ken Paxton in prison based on either the third-degree felony, failing to register as an investment advisor rep, or for that matter, the first-degree felony securities fraud cases.
Lay out the terms of the deal. What did you agree to?
In exchange for dismissing the third-degree felony of failing to register as an investment advisor rep, and ultimately the two first-degree felonies, Mr. Paxton is on a pretrial intervention agreement, a contract, not between Mr. Paxton and the judge like your typical probation or deferred is, but between Brian Weiss and Judge Silverman. And within that 18-month time frame, he has got to, in this order, make restitution to the victims in an amount of, I believe, $271,000. He's got to perform 100 hours of community service, which is important because that's what every defendant does.
Ken Paxton's not going to be shoveling poop at the dog shelter, just so you know.
Facility that we determine in Collin County, likely a food pantry or soup kitchen, that he takes 15 hours of continuing legal education and ethics, which is five times more than we have to take as lawyers.
No-brainer from Paxton's perspective, and no-brainer from these prosecutors as well, because they knew there was a great likelihood that they were going to lose. 950. It's the fall of 1979. The sixth ZZ Top album is out, called De Guayo. Cheap Sunglasses is on there. Isaac Hayes cover I Thank You is on there. And so is A Fool for Your Stockings, I Believe. So great. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland and the technical guru skills of Mr. Matt, thank you, Nikki Whaley, for news excellence. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Mike Gallagher is next.
I don't mind it. How about you? Yes, it's all right.
It's all right. Glad to be back. Thanks again to Paul Gleiser and Chad Astey for filling in.
Yes, it is. I
I'm Mark Davis. Have a great rest of your day. Be safe from some of the storms today. And
I may not want to admit it. I'm just a fool for your stockings, I believe.
See you in the morning for the Tuesday show right here on 660 AM The Answer. Be good.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.